the message. So I told Pastor, I says, I need at least 2 months to prepare and get this together. The Lord says, oh, okay, he wants 2 months. You know, I'll give him 2 months. And so I have to show him something through observation. Anyways, this is how I got my message. Came out my front house one day about 2 months ago, and I noticed my grass was brown. It was just horrible looking. And I had the best front lawn grass in the neighborhood at that time, better than everybody else. But suddenly the ground started getting dark, and it just brown, and all the grass died. It was just like, I'd say about 80% of it anyways. So I says, okay, Lord, what's this all about? I'm looking at this thing, you know. I did the, you know, haste makes waste scenario. So I took some dirt, and I just found any dirt that I can find and just threw it on there and put some seed and everything on the front lawn. And then I just made a mess of things. I made things worse because there was rocks that I couldn't see in the dirt, and it just made things worse. About 2 weeks later, I noticed the grass was coming up, and it was really bad, really slow, and it was choking everything, and it was killing everything, and there were weeds in there. It was just a mess. Says, okay, Lord, what do you want me to talk about? Well, I want you to talk about the parable of the sower. Okay. So that's how I got my message. The parable of the sower is what we're going to talk about today. I asked the landscaper across the street, who happens to be a friend of mine. I'm the only one in the neighborhood who does his own grass. Everybody else has landscapers. But I decided, you know, to ask this fellow. I said, well, how come my grass is this way? And he said, it's grub worms. I would have never guessed it in a million years. Grub worms will kill the roots in your grass. Okay? Now, I believe the Lord created these ferocious grub worms for one reason: to kill my grass and to give me this message. I believe that without a shadow of a doubt. I really do believe that. And I stuck my foot in my mouth. I said, Lord, Pastor Mike, I have to have at least 2 months. The Lord says, I'll give him 2 months, because this whole process took about 2 months. Right now, my grass looks great because it took 2 months to get it together. But I believe the Lord created these ferocious grub worms to kill the roots in my front lawn to give me this message, parable of the sower. So if you would turn to Matthew chapter 13, we'll begin. See, I don't believe in accident. I don't believe in chance. I don't believe in any of that. I believe there's reasons why things happen. I always did believe that. And I've been saved 35 years, and I've seen the Lord work in my life. I've seen Him work in other people's life. And He always came through in the beginning and all the way through the middle and in the end. I've seen Him do it. I've seen answered prayer in my own personal life. I'm speaking through experience. And I can boast about it today. I can boast about it because I've tasted and seen that the Lord is good. You see. Matthew 13, this is the parable of the sower. It's found in Matthew 13. This parable is also found in Luke chapter 8 and Mark chapter 4. If you look at don't turn there yet, but in Luke chapter 8:11, we learn that the seed sown is the Word of God. And the sower is Christ Himself. For in Luke chapter 8:5, calls the seed His seed. Now you can turn to it. Turn to Luke chapter 8:11. You'll find this parable, as I said, in three Gospels: Matthew, Luke, and Mark. Look at 11. Luke chapter 8:11. Now the parable is this: the seed is the Word of God. Okay, and look at verse 5. Go back up to verse 5. His sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. So his seed is the Word of God, Jesus Christ. And the sower, rather, is his seed. The seed is the Word of God. All right, so what I want to talk about is this. There are four type of individuals in this world, okay? They have four different professions, okay? We're going to talk about four of them tonight, rather. The first one is found in, let's go back to Matthew 13 and look at verse number 4. And now read it. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. So we see the first hearer is a careless individual. That means he could care less about what he hears. I think, you know, probably almost everybody in this room here has spoken to people, have seen people that, you know, you try to witness to them and they couldn't care less. They just don't care. So we're going to probably major a little bit more on this particular hearer than the other three. There's more to say, and because we've experienced a lot about this particular hearer. And look at, same chapter. Look at verse 19. It explains this here. It says, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. And this is he which received seed by the wayside. The first hearer who hears the word is careless. Okay? The fowls of the air in verse 4 are demons sent by Satan, and the ground represents the heart of man by the wayside. This is a lost man we're talking about. Look at Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, verse 12. Okay. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and take away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. So this first hearer that we're going to talk about is a careless hearer. He's a lost man. He's represented by Herod and Pilate. Okay. As an example, turn to John chapter 18. We're going to give an example basically for all four of these hearers. And our first one is going to be in John chapter 18. This is a careless man. This is a careless hearer. And he really couldn't care less about the truth. Look at verse 37. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and said unto them, I find in him no fault at all. So we see here's an individual, Pilate and Herod at that time, when he was presented with the truth in person, the Lord Jesus Christ, he didn't take heed. He didn't listen. He really didn't care. He didn't care enough to stay and listen for more. He ran out even before he got an answer to this question. So I'm going to give some contemporary examples of this type of a hearer. Now, I've been having, I'll get personal here a little bit. I've been having a dialogue with this particular individual for about 5 years. And we've had about, maybe 150 conversations. And practically, this is the type of guy that doesn't like to be alone. He likes to be around people. So, you know, we've had conversations. It's always about the Bible, okay? And this is what I gathered. I compiled this in about 5 years throughout our conversations. Now, you got to keep in mind one thing. I've learned very quickly that this man is he's not a believer. He's a careless hearer, and I'm going to use him as an example this evening to show you and to tell you what kind of a person this is. And you've all gone through this. I know you have. You bumped into these type of people all the time. And he wasn't man enough to tell me what, quote, religion he was. So I had to put two and two together, and the Lord gave me the answer. And this is after a couple of years, by the way. I told him who I was. You know, hey, I'm a Christian, you know. And he gave me credit for being honest, and yet he wasn't honest with me. But he says, you know what? He says, I'm a thinker. First of all, he's a intellect, okay? Another word for an intellect is a fool. That's the Bible definition of an intellect, okay? Anywhere from 190 IQ on up is a fool, if he thinks he knows more than this Bible. He says, I'm a thinker. He says, Tony, he says, you're not a thinker. He says, you have to read a book. Well, yeah. And so then I said, well, yeah, but this book does the thinking for me. And it gives me all the answers. See, I don't have to think too much. All I have to do is read third grade English, and I can understand what I read. You see, so this book does all the thinking for me. It's already thought out the plan of salvation for me. So I don't have to worry too much like you worry. I give it right back to him, see. Now, you got to remember one thing. There's other people around, so I'm, after a few months, I'm doing this, I'm speaking, not for his benefit, but for the others listening. You understand? I remember when I was first saved, Pastor Mel came to my house, and they had the whole tribe there, you know. Half spoke English, half spoke Greek, and it was a big mess. But Pastor Mel said some things for other people's benefits who he knew the person he was talking to wasn't really listening because they were careless listeners. But he said it for the other people around. And Apostle Paul worked the same way, too, you see. So there's a benefit. If you think somebody doesn't care, well, that's fine. Maybe there's somebody listening, and people have ears. Well, they listen on the buses, the trains. They listen, you know, to your conversation. So take advantage of it, you know. So that's what I've been doing for 5 years. I'm doing it, having this dialogue with this intellect for the other's benefit. And for mine, too, because you can learn a lot of things. He says, you know what? He says, I've been enlightened. You know, I don't need this book to be enlightened with. He says, I have enough light. He's an evolutionist. He was honest enough to tell me that. He said that God had more than one son. Okay? So then at that point in time, I said, are you a Jehovah's Witness? Because that's what they believe, that Jesus was a son of God, not the son of God. And he was insulted and got mad at me because I asked him if he was a Jehovah's Witness. Yet he wouldn't tell me what religion he is. I'll tell you how I found out later, though. The Lord found it for me. I said, man, you have about enough light as a 2-watt bulb. Now, you know you have to talk to these creeps this way because they're arrogant. And he's arrogant. He's egotistical. He thinks he knows it all. And he's still my friend. Listen, Jesus called Judas friend, didn't he? This guy's my friend, believe me. You know, he helped me put this message together, and other people benefited from this. That's right. See, there's something good from everything bad. You know, even whatever happened today, too, there's something always good. Especially if you're at funerals, you know, when people go to funerals. Hey, listen, it's for the living. Whatever said, it's for the living. Even if a person's saved or lost, it's for the living that funerals are a tremendous benefit. And hospital beds, too. He preaches to me. He says, listen. Oh, this guy, he's got all the answers. He thinks he does. I had a ball with him. I got a stack of papers like this because I wrote it all down. And literally this big, too. He says, listen, there's one God, but many paths. There's many ways to God. He said, but there's only one. He said, there's one God, but there's many paths. There's different ways. Well, I said, Jesus says, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father by me. So I guess that shoots down all of your paths. They said, there's only one path. That's what the Bible says. And I'm going on. And he loves to debate. He loves to argue, which is fine with me. So one day I'm in Manhattan, and I just happened to come by this building, and I'd never go this way when I was doing my track ministry in the city, and I'd go down the street that I'd never been down before, and I happened to look up, and I saw a big sign on this big building, and it says, many paths to, one God, but many paths. It says, whoa! And there it was, and it was a 500, and then they had a 575-pound Buddha, big Buddha right there in front of there, and I said, so that's what he is, he's a Buddhist. So that's how I got the answer. I says, listen, so ever since then I call him Buddha Buddy, because I still don't know his name. He calls me Bin Laden Buddy, because he calls me a terrorist. I says, listen, if you're terrified, it's the scriptures that I give you that terrify you, it's not me. So don't get mad at me, I said. I says, get mad at God, he sure does too, you see. I says, this book will tell it like it is. And he doesn't want, he preaches truth, but he doesn't, he's a careless hearer. He's careless. He doesn't care what the truth is. And I saw this a long time ago. He kept on going and I let him talk. That's good, though, because when he finished, then I gave it back to him. I mentioned that he said Jesus was a son of God. I gave him all the scriptures to dispute that and to contradict everything that he said. He said that we evolved. I says, listen, I don't want to get on evolution here, but it is. All I said to him, I says, man, if you believe in that, you have a million times more faith than I do. If you believe in evolution, it takes a lot more faith to believe. It's a lot more easier to believe the creation, isn't it, in Genesis, than to believe from an amoeba to a PhD. I mean, it takes a lot of faith. It really does. I give you credit if you believe that, even though you're going to end up in the lake of fire if you do believe it. So now I noticed throughout our dialogue in a couple of weeks and so forth, he saw that he was getting offended and beat up. And now these intellects, when they get to that position, you can get ready for this, by the way, then they start to use words like, you know, Tony, you have to be more tolerant. Have we all heard that before? You got to be more tolerant. Tolerant? Well, why weren't they tolerant with Jesus? Why didn't they listen to his word? How come they had to kill him? You know, if tolerance is the theme for today. Tolerance, you see. They want you to tolerate their nonsense, their lies. And then he used words as, you know, I try to do the decent thing. What about decency, Tony? You know, what about tolerance and things like that? They use these terminologies, these words to justify their sins. Yep, right. Oh, yes, they do. Right. Then he says, I mischaracterized him. Oh, he used this a lot on me. I said, well, what do you mean mischaracterized? You said this, didn't you? And the Bible says this. So who's lying here, you or God? I'm going to tell you where this is all heading to. I knew this way in advance that it's going to end up right here. And he's going to continue calling God a liar now. He says, listen, you have your religion, I have mine. You have your beliefs, I have mine. You believe what you want to believe from your Bible, and I believe, I have a belief system. I says, well, listen, Buddha buddy. I just believe the Bible word for word. You know, now this book tells me that I have eternal life through Jesus Christ, through the blood, through the cross. It certainly sounds appealing to me, and I'm going to believe that. He says, well, you got your belief, I have mine. So I tease him about, you know, belief system a lot. I use that word a lot against him. Then he says, the next thing he says I was hateful and that I was sick. Well, the last time I heard the word sick was literally 35 years ago, after 3 months after I was saved. Greek priest got in the office there. My mom was there too, and I went for her benefit. And all I did was read the scripture to this guy with his collar on backwards, you know. And he says, he just sat back, you know, because he ran out of answers. You can't fight the book. You can't do it. You can't. It's impossible. He got up and he says, Tony, he says, you're a sick man. Well, so fast forward 35 years, I'm hearing this word again, so I guess I'm doing something right. Compliment. I take it as a compliment. Thank you very much. I'm never offended at words like this. Never, never, never. I take it as a compliment because, hey, if you don't suffer, you're not going to reign with the Lord. Simple as that. You know, sticks and stones and break your bones, words ain't going to hurt you anyways. Come on. So I guess I'm going down the right path because I'm still sick 35 years later. He says, you know, he says, I respect God. I don't fear God. Oh, give me a break. You know, I says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Didn't know what to say. I respect. Well, that was the end of that conversation. He didn't take that in, he didn't go too far with that one. What does respect have to do with eternal life? What if you, come on, you know, it's so anyways, pretty much dependent on upon his, he was indoctrinated years ago by philosophers, the philosophers of the ages, philosophers in the B.C. and A.D. Okay, so all these guys really have poisoned his mind. So you know what? So it came down to this. He says, you know what? He says, all you have is one book to tell you to believe and to follow. Can you imagine him telling me this? I says, man, that's the first honest thing you ever said. He says, you bet your boots. He says, that's right, I only have one book. I get all my information from one book and not references, not other philosophers, not Big Buddha, Muhammad, or any of them phonies. I said, I get all my information from one book. And you know what? I says, you know what, Buddha buddy? I said, well, he calls me Bin Laden, so don't, you know, I'm never, you know, I can't offend this guy. You know, it's impossible. I says, you know what? I've got one book, and I believe this book so much that I bet my soul on it. I'm a gambler. See? Everybody in this room is probably a gambler, too. You know the Lord as your Savior? We're gamblers. I'm not talking about Las Vegas here. I'm talking about we're gamblers. We're betting our soul on this book. End of discussion. We won't talk about that, see? That's a no-no. He said, and his next question to me was, he says, how do you know that the book is God's word? This is the last man asking me these questions. I love it. You know, it's great. I says, well, for starters, I can tell you that the first way that you can know that that this is God's book is by how nervous it makes people. I mean, you take this book anywhere, you know, you carry it. What's the, you know, people look at you, you know, and you start to get nervous. So, without going on too long, I gave him all the facts about, well, listen, you know, I bet my soul on this book. And I can tell how nervous it's making you. And I can tell you, I can show you scriptures where you can know for sure that you'll be in heaven when you take your last breath. Truth. He doesn't regard it. He doesn't respect it. He doesn't care about it. See, because he's concerned. He was always concerned about his belief system. These are the people that we encounter every day. There's a reason why people believe what they believe. Listen, I'm not saying go out and argue with your neighbors and the people that we come in contact with like I do with Buddha Buddy, but all I'm saying is that it's important to tell the truth. If they get offended, that's okay, I'm still your friend, you know, but I'm going to tell you the truth. You know, I don't care who you are or who I offend, or if you don't want to be my friend anymore, that's fine with me. I lost all my friends that, like, after I got saved anyways. I think maybe I got maybe 2 out of maybe 100. Well, it tells you this book divides, doesn't it? It's a two-edged sword, cuts both ways. Oh, yeah. Now, he says to me, what makes you different? What makes your religion different from my religion? Well, I said, the first thing I said to him, I says, Well, my God loved me enough to die for me. What did your 575 big Buddha do for you? That's right. That's how I talk to this guy, see? My God loved me enough to die for me. Amen. I never got over that. I never will get over that. Amen. You know, you don't need any motivation beyond that point. And, you know, if that doesn't motivate you, hey, listen, folks, tonight could be our last night. You know, we're going to be out of here. Amen. We're going to be in heaven. You see, and that's the reason we should rejoice and stay up, in spite of you got to look your boss in the face tomorrow. I know, but that's not the end of it. The end of it is reigning in a mansion. You see, my God loved me enough to die for me. What did your God do for you? I said he's 6 feet in the foot, 6 foot in the ground, and the worms had a lot to eat too, for 600 pounds. Listen, I'm not going to tell you the things he called me because I wouldn't give him the privilege. I just, you know, I'm not going to curse. All right. Oh yeah. I said, my God's alive today. Where's yours at?
Amen.
I said, he reigns. He intercedes for me.
Amen.
He's my mediator. I said, where is your God? Is he speaking for you today? Is he taking care of you today? Does he talk to you? I said, my God does. You see, because he wants to know what the difference is between him and I. There's a lot of difference between you and I. You see, I says, my God's coming back for me. Is yours coming back for you? There's a lot of ways to shut these intellects up. Plenty of ways to shut these guys up. You know, you can do it quick or you can do it, you know, a jab at a time, which listen, I didn't give him the whole 9 yards, you know, the first day. I let him beat me up a little bit, you know, so others can listen. And then I got him later, though. It might not be over yet either. As I said, dead man can't build mansions. I says my God's been building a mansion for 2,000 years now, almost ready to go. I says, what has yours done for you? So if you want to know the difference between your God and my God, I just told you about four good points there. I had mentioned earlier that it's going to come down to this. The last day argument is always going to be about the final authority. Now here's the Bible. Now here's a guy that he knew he was defeated. Big Buddha was defeated and he knew it. So what do you do? What do you do? It's easy. Where would he run from here? What would you do if you were a God hater, a self-righteous individual, someone who has his own belief system? What would you do? Easy. Just make a liar out of God. That's the easiest thing to do. Okay, so how do you do that? Well, you just deny what God said. Piece of cake, isn't it? Come on. This is after about the second month we got on the issue of the Bible. I knew it was coming. I just didn't know what day or week. But I knew it was going to come. The issue is always going to be about the authority of the Word of God. You make a liar out of God. See? God didn't really... listen, if I showed you the things that... I wouldn't give him the honor for me to read some of the stuff that he wrote me, but it's blasphemy. So, you make a liar out of God. God didn't really say that, you see? And by doing this, he was justifying his belief system, his sins. You see, that's exactly what he was doing. Because he knew he couldn't compete with Scripture that I was giving him. You can expect this from your friends, okay, from lost people. This is what you're going to encounter, and you should, too. Then he started, you know, of course, he started to deny the preservation and the inspiration of the Bible. Cowards do that. Anybody can be a coward. He was a coward, you know. He just knew that he didn't have any more answers, so he just said, hey, you got to get rid of the book. Get rid of that book, boy, because, you know, it's a sword, and it does hurt. Okay? But, you know, so he was basically doing what Eve did. Yea, hath God said? Yea, hath God said, society? Did God really say that? That's your interpretation, he tells me. And then he goes on, oh gosh, here's a good one. He said, listen, the Bible is good for some people, but it's not good for all. He says, I believe some of it I don't believe. It's a good book, quote unquote, it's a good book, you see. You see how self-righteous and disgusting this individual is to put himself above God and his word, thinking that he's a small g God himself. But this is the danger that people run into when you think you're smarter than God. You see? And wide is the gate, narrow is the way. Yes, Lord, you're right about that one. You're going to have a wide gate. You need a wide gate because most people are going to be non-believers in this world. Close to 6 billion people. I don't know how many are saved. Maybe 1 or 2 billion? What about the other 4? I don't know. So basically he was making a little god out of himself, okay? Or making a little god out of someone else so he could worship. You know, as long as he was making a god of whatever he believed in his belief system, allowed him to do these little sins and get away with it. It was okay. You see. Follow this book. You got to do exactly what the book says. You know, and we don't always do that. But the Lord is, thank the Lord, he's patient, because I wouldn't be standing here right now. I would have been killed a long time ago. Believe me. After I was a Christian, I did a lot of bad things, but the Lord was patient with me because he knew I was, you know, carried a lot of baggage, and I was, a dumbbell. I just didn't catch on that fast. It was a roller coaster for me for a few years. But then I got hit a couple of times over the head. I was a fast learner. Okay? So he basically was trying to set his righteousness above God's righteousness. You understand? Boy, people do that all the time. And then he started this with me. He says, show me some prophecy say the last 500 years. He says, no, show me some prophecy that came true the last 300 years. And he went on for weeks and weeks with this. Listen, we got the answers in the book. We know what the answers are, but I didn't give them to him right away. I just let him continue making a fool out of himself. Well, I said to him, well, let's see, you want a little prophecy, current event? Say, how about the last 59 years? How about when Israel became a nation? That was predicted. That was Old Testament, New Testament, and just a recent fulfilled revelation from the Bible. So, I don't hear from him for about three or four days, and then he comes back and he says an egotistical answer like this. I'll give you this one. I says, Buddha friend, I call him sinner friend too, because that's what he is. He doesn't like that either. I said, let me tell you something. I said, you're not giving me nothing. I said, this book is giving me everything that I need, and you're not giving me nothing. You just don't want to admit that you're wrong. You see, tell me about that. And furthermore, there were 48 Old Testament and New Testament prophecies before Jesus Christ came of his existence and him coming to this earth that were all fulfilled. For that to happen, it would take a number that you can't write down. So many zeros. Well, what's the probability is a number that you can't even give. 48 prophecies 400 to 500 years before Jesus stepped on this earth, they were all fulfilled. He didn't like that answer, though. He got around that one. But when Israel became a nation in 48 and Jerusalem became the capital in 67, he didn't argue with that. He gave me that one. Modest fella, isn't he? Oh, yeah. So that's our first hearer. He's the careless, couldn't care less type of individual. Pilate was an example. We have our own examples in our lives every single day. You just have to know what to deal with them. How do you deal with them? Give them scripture. You see, you don't have to get real theological with these individuals and let them hear what they want to hear or answer their questions. You know how to deal with them? Give them scripture. Give them the scripture. They have to read it. They have to read it, so they're getting the scripture anyway, so give it to them. And that's how you deal with them. And don't get trapped. Second individual, turn back to Matthew 13 and look at verse 5 and 6. Okay, this is what we call the temporary hearer. Temporary. Okay, it says in verse 5 and 6, 13, it says, some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And then turn over to verse, let's see, verse 20 and 21. The interpretation is here. But he that receiveth the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and on with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but during for a while, for when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. So the second hearer of the word is going to be personified in Simon the sorcerer, found in Acts chapter 8. Let's turn there now. Okay? This is a temporary hearer. Look at Acts chapter 8. This is the example of this individual. Let's see, 8, and look at verse 9, and we'll just go ahead and continue reading here for a little bit. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the city used sorcery, and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. And to him they had regard, because that of a long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles which were in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. And this is supposed to be a saved man here, isn't it? And he's saved. He's saved, but this is the temporary hearer that we're talking about, right? This is the temporary hearer of the Word of God. Verse 19, saying, give me also this power, that on whoever, whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, thou money perish with thee, because thou hast lost that the gift. Thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thy heart may be forgiven thee, for I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. Then answered Simon and said, pray ye to the Lord for me that none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me. He did the right thing there, because the Lord might have killed him. You don't mess with sorcery and things. The Lord might have killed this saved man. You know, and don't think because you're that you're saved and on your way to heaven and you're a child of God, thank God you are, that the Lord won't deal with you if you mess with the wrong stuff. You will. You know, everybody's going to have a limit. The Lord's going to have a limit with every individual. I don't know who that is, what that is, what the subject might be, but believe me, the Lord has his tolerant level with us. Okay, so don't push it. If you're doing something wrong, you quit it. If you're doing something right, continue. If you're doing something wrong, kick yourself, you know, until you get it right. You know, me too. I'm talking to myself too. So you see this second here is he's a temporary guy like Simon the sorcerer. He saved, but then he got his eyes off the Lord, see, and he started, started getting looking towards the money there, and things like that, and he started to he forgot who he was and where he came from. So back to let's see. So the persecution being connected with standing for the word. The word is mentioned two times in verse Matthew chapter 13, verse 20 and 21. The word of God is mentioned two times. Look at Mark chapter 4. Remember I said this parable is found in Luke 8, Mark 4, and Matthew 13. All right. Look at Mark 4 and verse 16. Okay, and speaking of the temporary hearer now, if you look at Mark chapter 4 and look at verse 4, this is the guys we're talking about here. And it came to pass as he sold, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured them up. That's the careless one. Second one is verse 5. And some fell on stony ground where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprung up because it had no depth of earth. And then, of course, the interpretation here is in the, Mark 4 and 16. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they had heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, see? Just like my front lawn didn't have any root because the rocks choked my grass and killed my grass when I threw the wrong dirt on there. And the weeds came on and the grub worms were gone, but the rocks made things worse, as I explained before. Verse 17, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterwards, when affliction or persecution arises, listen to these words, for the word's sake. Immediately they are offended. You see? You're going to be persecuted for standing on the Bible. The temporary hearers that we just read about primarily were persecuted for standing firm. Hey, listen, if eternal life is through Jesus Christ, through the blood, and if you can read it in the book that God wrote, you're going to be persecuted because there are going to be people that are going to be offended at those words. Imagine somebody being offended. Who wouldn't want to go to heaven? Well, the devil is the prince of the air, power of the air. Okay, so he's blinded many, many people. The first hearer that we listened to was the careless hearer. He's lost. These last three, including the temporary, are saved people. Okay? So the first sign of persecution because of the word's sake, and we read the word two times, they're going to quit and make excuses. I've had some friends like that, by the way. Oh, yeah. I thought this guy was saved. He could be saved, but as soon as he got some persecution, I was standing alone. I mean, what happened to my friend here? He's gone, you know. That's what these little experiences that I've experienced just makes me believe that this book is so real. When everybody scats and get it out of the way. Well, when I see things like that, it really gets my interest because there must be something in this lane that makes people react that way. So I actually love the Bible more after when people are offended and they want to argue about it. Well, what is it about this book that people want to argue about and dispute and make a liar out of it? That always got my attention. So I was really happy. That really turned me on. And it made me want to read more, see, and get more truth. So you're going to see that this temporary hearer he's going to turn tail, quit, and make excuses because he cannot take the heat of standing on the Word of God. Okay? The problem could be this, like Simon the Sorcerer. This could happen in one day after they get saved. It can happen after 1 week they get saved. Or it can happen months or years after they get saved. That's a fact. I've seen it. I've seen it with friends of mine. You know, a Christian could actually forget that they were actually saved. You know, you can forget that. You can just get so wrapped up in the cares of the world, man. You're just going to, you know. Listen, it happened to my best friend, my very best friend, who led me to the Lord. That's right. Sad commentary. It really is. Yes, that is correct. So, you can expect to get persecuted if you stand on the word, just like those grub worms persecuted my lawn. Oh yeah, they're gonna eat at the root board. They're gonna just tear you up. So you better be grounded. You know, you better use good fertilizer and good seed. And right here it is, folks. You can't mess with the book. All right. So the second here is a temporary here. Third here is found in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 7. Turn to it. Now this is a worldly. This is called a worldly here. Again, this is a safe person. Look at 7. Verse 7. And some fell among thorns, and this is Jesus speaking, by the way, okay, giving this parable. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. Interpretation is found in verse 22, same chapter. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world, and listen closely now, the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches choked the word, and he becometh unfruitful. This happened to my best friend, who led me to the Lord. He became a multimillionaire, $50 million a year business. Got his eyes off the Lord, down the tubes he goes. Take heed, okay? Take heed of that. It is the truth. And the Lord is so patient, too. It didn't happen overnight. All right? So, they become unfruitful, indicating at one time he did bear fruit. Look at Mark chapter 4, quickly. Mark chapter 4. We're just going to turn to it real fast. Mark chapter 4, 19 says the same, okay? And Luke chapter 8, 14, furthermore, says, this individual has some fruit that are not perfected. So he had some fruit in the beginning, but then the fruit turned rotten at a later time. Did I say turn to Mark chapter 4? Okay. We'll do Mark 4 first. All right. Look at Mark chapter 4 and look at verse 18 and 19. It's going to list some things here. 18, and these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and becometh unfruitful. He lists three things, if you noticed. Cares. You can't serve two masters. You cannot, it won't work. You know, you can't serve the Lord and then serve the world the other half of the day. It won't work. God will not tolerate it. He won't tolerate it. I've seen good, godly people, good people, honest, born again, saved people on the way to heaven, go right down to the gutter. It literally, you know, you don't mess with God and God's word. He won't tolerate it. I'm telling you. Look at the other word that was mentioned was riches. And you don't have to turn to it, but I looked at the Psalm 62, verse 10. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. But everybody says, right now, I sure would like to try it, wouldn't you? Yeah, everybody wants their bills paid, I know. But listen, you know, if riches increase, just let the Lord control it. Let Him take care of it, and He will. But don't set your heart upon it, because you're gonna end up to be a worldly hearer. And then it also mentions in the verse, it says pleasures. That's a broad spectrum of problems. Okay, it could be many things. Now, that's Mark. Now turn to Luke chapter 8. You're gonna see some of the same things. Look at let's see. Look at 8, and look at verse 18. Luke 8, chapter 14. Okay. And that which fell among thorns are they, which when they have heard, go forth, and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. Again, they had fruit one time, now they don't have any fruit. What happened? What happened during the course of your Christian walk? Where did you go wrong? This book is for our warning. It's for our admonition. And God wrote this book so we'll have a standard to follow and a faith to follow that we need to practice, put it to practice. This book will keep you alive, and it'll keep you happy, and it'll keep you working for the Lord, but you got to put it to use. You got to believe what you read, where you read it. See, again, these verses talk about cares of the world. You know, cares of the. Let me tell you something. I can't tell you how many times this Lord, can you just fast forward this? Fast forward me about 3 days, so I can get through this thing. And the things were just so insignificant, I can't even remember what they were. Everything, it passes by. Everything goes around. Just don't forget that the Lord's in control. He has His hand on the thermostat. He knows what's going on. He created us. You know, He knows what's cooking. You know, just don't get ahead of God. Put Him first, and then just listen and follow. You see, tomorrow's going to take care of itself. It's going to come around, you see. In spite of what you're going to be going through tomorrow, okay? It says deceitfulness of riches. Riches are deceitful. They're deceitful. Everybody can't handle a lot of money. That's why most of us are just have enough to get by, which is fine. But it's not an easy thing to control at times, okay? And then again, Luke talks about pleasures. Again, he talks about pleasures and other things. Okay? So the third here is represented by Demas. Turn to Colossians chapter 4. Bible has an example for every illustration and for every parable. Look at Colossians chapter 4. This is really scary here. You know, you read this thing, it should put a chill down your back. Colossians chapter 4, verse 14. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Here's a guy, Demas, he's in fellowship with God, right? He's with Luke, and they greet you. Colossians chapter 4, 14. Now I'm speaking to my wife. Uh-huh. Okay, so here's a guy on good standing with God, right? Here's Demas. Now turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. And look at verse 10. For Demas hath forsaken me, and have loved this present world. How you like that? Well, so what does that tell you? Demas started off right, kept his eyes on the Lord. He read his Bible, or the scriptures that he did have at that time. And yet, he ended up probably losing all of his rewards and probably died a miserable man who still went to heaven, but he wasn't a happy camper. I hope nobody ever turns into a demon in here, because it's not a, it, listen, my lowest points in my life was when I was out of fellowship with God. You know, there's nothing more miserable than a Christian out of fellowship. If you think this people on Wall Street have headaches and all this nonsense and stuff, a more miserable person is a person who knows the truth and has gotten away into being a worldly hearer, okay? And that individual is more miserable than anybody, because you know the hammer is going to come down any day now, and the Lord's going to deal with you, just like a loving father should deal with you. I got enough bumps to prove it, too, you know, but the Lord was patient with me, boy, I tell you. So the third hearer of the Word of God is a worldly hearer. The last one is a sincere hearer. Look at Matthew chapter 13. And look at verse, let's see. Look at verse 4, 13. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Interpretation is found in verse 23. He that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word, understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. See? And look at Luke chapter 8, Luke chapter 8 again. Look at Luke 8 and turn to verse 15. But that on the good ground are they, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. This individual, this sincere hearer, understands and bears fruit with variety of fruitfulness among the saved, 30, 60, 100. So this hearer keeps the word and brings forth fruit with patience. You want contemporary examples of this individual? Hopefully it's everybody in this room. See, you know, life is full of choices. Life is full of choices. You make good choices, you make bad choices. Sometimes the good thing about the Word of God is the Lord informs you ahead of time before you make a choice. You know, He'll give you good advice. He'll tell you which way to go. You see, whether you're for a lost man or saved, and. But the life is full of choices, and boy, I tell you, you make the wrong choice, you're going to pay the consequence. You make the right choice, there are going to be some great rewards in heaven. Oh, yeah, absolutely. So I just want you to turn to a last scripture verse. That'll be James chapter 1. No, it's not going to be a last, it'll be next to the last. I guess it's going to tie in with what we're saying, though. When you get there, let me know. Okay. James chapter 1, and look at verse 22. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. See, you need to take heed to the word of God. You need to be doers of the word and not just a hearer. A hearer is a good start, but you got to put that sincere hearing of the word of God into action. The Lord would never demand more from you than what he's given you. Everybody has certain talents, limits, different limits, personalities, but it's all for the glory of God. Whatever you have, whatever personalities you have, gifts you have, it's all for the glory of God. I failed to mention one thing about my Buddha buddy. So we'll just go back to him for a minute. I remember him saying, on the subject that I had spoken to about before, about show me this, show me that. You know, show me, why is this? Why does this happen? How come God let Hitler kill 6 million Jews? I said, what's the big deal here, Buddha buddy? You know, what about, what's his name, Mao Zedong, whatever it was, that Chinese... He killed, like, estimates as much as 80 million people. He didn't know that. He's harping about Hitler, how bad he was. How about this Chinese dictator who killed close to 80 million people? So it just shows you how much the world knows about even current events. But he kept going on for a long time with this particular subject. Show me something relevant to today from the Bible, which he, you know, and that's the way he talks. So I took him over there to 2 Timothy. This pretty much, as a matter of fact, this is about the last time I talked to him because this really shut him up. Oh, yes. This one worked. I just waited till the end to give it to him. I was hoping that he wouldn't shut me off yet until I wrote him this and gave him this. I took him to 2 Timothy in chapter 3. I says, okay, if you want something relevant to today, this is for you. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, relevant, natural, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, which he really is, because he's so conceited, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, trying to set his righteousness above God's righteousness. And so I said to him, you know, if you think you're so righteous, how much of the righteousness do you need to get into heaven? He couldn't give me an answer. Well, like, what if you're about 1% short of what God requires? That means that you're going to go right to the lake of fire. Oh, another thing too. Well, let me finish this anyways. Verse 5. Having a form of godliness, and he sure does, but denying the power thereof, he proclaimed himself to be so righteous, but yet he doesn't know where he's going to go when he dies. I know, I said, hey, I know where I'm going when I die. How come you don't know? How come Buddha can't do that for you? See? So, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, blah, blah, and all that. So we can continue. Anyways, I wanted to stop with verse 5. So I really gave him something I gave him something relevant for today. And these verses really are relevant and pretty much slammed the lid on his conversation. I was going to mention something else. I forgot what it was. Can anybody remember? It started to say something? Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Something like that. Did I say anything more? I guess the Lord doesn't want me to say it. So, my wife says, let's go. Oh, okay. Let's see. So what we have is what we spoke about today, when I say we, me, myself, and I, and the Word of God, is a careless hearer who could not care less about the truth. All right? They just want to brag, and argue, which is okay as long as other people get the benefit from it. That's fine. And then you have the last three, which are all safe people. You have the temporary hearer and the worldly hearer and the sincere hearer. Hopefully, everybody's going to be a sincere hearer, and if you're not, you're working on it, and that's the way it should be. I don't know. Any questions about what we spoke about here? Any idea, does anybody have any idea who's going to win the nomination for presidency? Huh? Nobody? Well, let me give you a clue. It's gonna be the candidates who lie the least. At least I hope it is, anyways. Because all men are liars. Right? You can believe that. So you have to vote for somebody who lies a little less than the other guy. Yes. Oh, listen. That's interesting because the world puts so much value and concern and bright lights on what's going on in politics today. God just blinks his eye at that stuff. It's God who puts a man in power. Anybody who knows the Bible knows that. Whether that person is a good person or a bad person, God's going to put that person in power. So I really don't care who's elected. And my philosophy is, if God puts the wrong person in there and that person is revealed after being in office for about a few weeks or a month or so, then I know that my redemption draws nigh and we're going to be out of here, because God put somebody bad in there and the country's going to go down and we're going to go up. That's the way I see it. And I didn't want to stop, end on the political note, but I'm still trying to remember what I was going to say. It's not important. Forget about it. Never came back. We'll close in a word with a word of prayer here. Father, we thank you for...